Well, let's take our Bibles and stand with our Bibles as we do each week, and we'll affirm what this is together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it is true. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to say a little bit more about that during the message today, but I want to begin this morning. I think maybe it's with a bit of confession. And what I want to confess is that there was a preacher that we used to have on, listen to him on television, and something he did just kind of bugged me a little bit, or I just kind of laughed at it a little bit, and I would mention it to Donna, and I would mimic him a little bit. It was Charles Stanley. Now, some of you probably listen to Charles Stanley. If you listen to Charles Stanley, you'll know what I'm talking about, because when Charles Stanley would preach, every once in a while he'd say, "Now listen, listen, listen." You know, he would just do that listen, listen, listen thing. Well, now his son, Andy Stanley, is my favorite preacher in the country. And I haven't listened to him all, but I appreciate some of his teaching and some of the way he does things. But today I want to take from Charles, the elder Stanley, and I want to invite you to listen. And I want to talk to you about why it's important. Why it's important to listen. To listen to what we're going to talk together about for the next few minutes. But even more than that, to listen to the big message of the season. Of the happening. Of the event. Listen to God's Christmas message. Listen to what God is saying. And I'm going to invite you now, you heard about it already, but if you're around and if it works for you, I want to invite you back for Christmas Eve next Saturday night at 5 o'clock. We're going to look at the first two or three verses of Hebrews where it talks about how God has spoken to us and about how God is speaking to us. And many of us will be involved on Christmas Eve, and so I invite you back to that 5 o'clock on Saturday evening. We're going to celebrate the ways in which God has spoken. So the invitation and the instruction for the next 30-plus minutes is to listen, 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 to receive, to welcome, to soak it in, and to expect to be changed, to expect life to happen, bigger life than you have known to happen in the process. I toyed a little bit with the message today, and I toyed with calling it the I message. Now, why would I do that? Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard it for a while, but a few years ago, a lot of people talked about IMing, I am, instant, right? Instant messaging. There was that. I think that's kind of morphed into Facebook and Twitter and all of those kinds of things. On my new phone, I see that I can do iMessaging back and forth to other people who are on an iPhone, and that's free. That doesn't count against the messaging thing. You know, some people pay 20 cents a message or something, and I see that that's free. But I wanted to call it iMessage, not for those reasons, but because of God's message that changes us, and it interrupts us, and it impacts, and it involves us. And we got a lot of I's going there, and I guess preachers like to do that. But I think it sometimes helps us to remember and to reflect on something. And so we're going to think about that this morning. And first of all, let's think about how the message interrupts. The life-changing message of Christmas and of what God has done in sending Jesus interrupts life. Luke 2:8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. These are shepherds pulling the late night shift. You know, working hard late at night. I don't know if I had seen this. I'm sure I've read it, but it says they were living out in the fields. Is this their life? What's their life like for them? Today, there are lots of people who are thinking about working and living arrangements. The other day, I was driving somewhere. That's usually when I listen to the radio. And I was listening, and they were talking to a young man. And he was telling some of his story, and he talked about how, and this is a high school kid, you know, upper high school, junior, senior, I don't know, and he talked about how he was crying in class. And his teacher saw that he was crying, and he said, you know, if you want to go home, you can go home. And he said, then I started crying all the more, because I didn't have a home to go to. I didn't have anywhere to go. Well, the shepherds in their day, if you've studied about them, heard about them, they were on the lower rungs of society. They were not welcomed in. They were not welcomed into the places of worship and so on. They were living out in the fields. Living out in the fields. So what is their life? What do you suppose their life is like? What would they talk about? What would they communicate about? I suppose sheep stuff, you know, shop talk, field talk, dreams, casual stuff, a few things of interest, maybe a joke now and then. So we talk, what do we talk about where we live, where we are? Oh, that came up too fast. But it's good, isn't it? The other day I went to a pastor's council meeting a week ago Tuesday, I think it was, anyway, up in St. Paul. And we do some serious stuff there, you know. We had some good stuff we were talking about, really good stuff. But when we came to the meeting, Randy came in, and Randy's a cool guy, he's a pastor, and he came in with a sweatshirt on like that, Lutefisk, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I told those guys, I said, hey, my understanding is that where I am doing some interim pastoring right now, it's the Lutefisk capital of the universe, I'm told. You know, so we like to joke around a little bit. And if you were over at our home or our apartment and we were chatting, you know, I'm sure I'd want to talk to you about our family, and we do that. And if we spent some time together, I suppose depending on, you know, how the conversation goes, it's very likely, I've done this to some of you already, it's very likely I would say, are you familiar with the TED Talks on the internet? TED, TED Talks. And if you're not familiar with them, I'd encourage you to get familiar with them. It's a world of fascinating stuff. And if you go to the TED Talks on the internet, TED, just Google TED Talks, I would say when you get there, search this talk, A Stroke of Luck. And listen to, and most of them are 12, 15, 20 minutes long. And some of, you know, I guess I should be careful about encouraging you to go there, because there's probably some not very Christian things there, but there's a lot of wonderful educational learning kinds of things there. So I'd probably talk to you about the TED Talks. And then, again, depending on how the conversation goes, I'd say, hey, do you know who Eugene Landau Murphy is? You know who Eugene Landau Murphy is? A couple of you do, maybe not too many of you. And I'd say, well, you know, you might want to check this out on YouTube. You could go. In fact, you want to check it out? This is Eugene Landau Murphy. I kind of got a kick out of him. Can we see that?
Why are you laughing at Howie?
I love Howie. I love you, dude.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very
nice. Little Bobby.
My name is Bobby.
That's pretty good.
What's your name?
My name is Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
I didn't get it right.
Are you chewing gum?
Yes, I am.
Well, I wouldn't do that when you're performing in this show, seriously.
Thank you. That's better. Where are you from, Landau?
I'm from Logan, West Virginia.
Okay.
Yes.
And what are you going to do for us today?
Well, I do all kind of music, but tonight I'm just trying to follow my dream.
And what do you do for a living?
I was recently washing cars out of my new car detailer.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of the warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, you little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Get up, wake up to reality. Because I've got you under my skin, and I like you under my.
Were you miming?
No, I was not. That's my real voice.
Yeah, I gotta say, you were such a surprise. You know, the look versus the music that you were doing. I did not expect it.
That's what I mean.
I personally am a huge fan of Frank Sinatra. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you talk about bringing things back. What better way to bring it back than with your look and who you are?
So, Miranda, you come out on this stage chewing your gum, doing your silly Bobby impressions and your Howie Mandel hero worship, and I'm thinking this is going to be total train wreck, if I'm honest. I thought, honestly, I really did. I just thought, this guy's not serious.
Right.
And then you began to sing, and I couldn't believe quite what I was hearing. I really couldn't. And what I like about you is I don't think you really know how good a singer you are. Have you ever auditioned for anything before?
Never in my life.
This is your first ever audition.
First ever audition in front of anybody.
First audition in blaze.
You are a very unusual talent. You're the kind of reason that we like doing the show, because you come out of nowhere, you've never auditioned before in your life, and you have a natural, God-given talent.
Your life is never going to be the same. I'm telling you, you just killed your whole life.
You're probably emotional because, as I said, you didn't know how good you were. And now you do. So I'm going to say yes.
Come on. You know what it is. Yes.
See you in Vegas.
Thank you, New York.
God,
I kind of like that car wash guy, you know. He probably kind of like one of the shepherds, you know. And he went on through weeks of that competition on America's Got Talent, and in competition was some amazing talent, and ended up being the winner and got $1 million contract and has an album out now and so on.
And I'd, you know, so I'd probably show you a little clip on the laptop of Landau Eugene Murphy. And we might talk about sports and holiday plans and expectations and shopping, how that's going. I want to talk to you about, I'm kind of a gadget guy, a little geeky, but not too much. But I like, you know, a couple weeks ago, my son-in-law, the kids who are with us, their dad told me about Roku. I didn't know anything about it, and I've now got Roku up in the apartment so we can watch a little something and have some music and so on the television there. But even in this digital age of communication, even as we would be talking together, I'd want to say, but you know, it's really important that we do face-to-face stuff. You know, it can't all be digital stuff. It can't all be over the computer. Talking face-to-face is really important. Well, I'd enjoy chatting with you about stuff, and I hope you'd enjoy it too, and I'd want to hear your story. I want to hear something about your story and what's going on in your life. So the shepherds are out doing the usual late-night stuff, and they're talking, maybe. They're drifting off, maybe. And then, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Luke 2:9. Now again, if I may, I'd like us to appreciate the creative, imaginatory genius of Walter Wangren in the Book of God, the Bible as a novel. It helps us maybe think about what it could have been like based on this verse. By midnight, the fires of the three shepherds had collapsed into sparks and red embers. Simon and the other two who joined flocks and shared the long night watch had also subsided into silence. One sent soft, moist snorings up toward heaven, a tough old man, content. One sat wakeful upon the stone wall, slapping it sometimes with the flat of his rod in order to warn wild animals away. Simon had gone to lie among the sheep for warmth, but he wasn't sleeping. He was gazing thoughtfully upward and enjoying the periodic huffings and sighs of the larger ewes. All at once, the stars began to explode, and Simon leaped to his feet, and the sheep stumbled up, bleeding and running back to the stone walls. The stars, in tens and then in tens of thousands, were flashing like white fires in the black sky, and they began to move like burning bees, like a great whirling swarm of bees. The stars were crossing heaven from east to the west, and Simon stood immobilized. Even the sheep were fixed in attitudes of awful fear. Between the glorious motion of heaven and the dark earth below, there now appeared a single endless pillar of pure white fire. And the fire spoke. And Simon understood what it said. The fire cried, "Don't be afraid." No, not the fire, but a figure within the fire. And the brilliant form of a human, smooth and huge and very beautiful, his feet upon the mountains, an angel of the Lord. And the angel said, "I bring good news of great joy which shall come to all the people. For to you is born this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, that swarm of the fiery heavenly host swooped down and filled the lower skies, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to the people with whom He is pleased." How long the enormous chorus lasted, Simon did not know. The air itself was the music of these angels. And when they withdrew again to heaven, and the night was dark, Simon thought he could hear nothing but what he had heard, "Gloria," still ringing in his ears. And he thought he was blinded to the common things around him, stone and sheep, his companions, and his own hands. Well, life, with its endless succession of work and late nights and lists, living in the fields, life had been interrupted. The night was interrupted, and life was interrupted abruptly and for the good. I want you to reflect with me, and we should do more of this. Maybe you take this with you and do more of it, but reflect with me just a bit on interruptions, if you will. You know, you've got your routine, you've got your projects, you've got your lists upon lists of to-dos and so on, and then you're interrupted. Happens to you, doesn't it? Happens to all of us, you know. Happened to us, I suppose, in a number of ways this week. Happened the other night, our son Jason called. Some of you saw an email. He called and he saw, well, I had talked to him on Tuesday and I knew something was going on. And he called Friday night, maybe. I don't know when it was. He called and he sounded terrible. He sounded terrible. And we had talked to him before and he's going to end up going in for surgery tomorrow, kind of an unexpected deal. And he said, is there any way you guys could come and help? His wife seemed to have the flu bug. She wasn't feeling good. They've got a 15-month-old, dear Maggie. And, well, let us think about this, Jason. We'll try find a way. And, you know, we're heading right to Christmas. And, you know, we thought we had the plans all laid out. And then here's an interruption. But an opportunity. C.S. Lewis encourages us this way. The great thing is, if one can, to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions in one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one regards as interruptions are precisely one's life. That's it, you know. This isn't interruption of life. This is life. This is the way it is. Many people encourage us to look upon the interruptions in life as opportunities. And what an opportunity has come to the shepherds and to us as God interrupts normal life with His action and with His message. And the message of the angels pierces the monotony and the misery of daily, nightly life with fright and then with new, incredible hope and promise. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. God intersects the normal passage of our lives with a message. And this message to us is that there is more. There is much more than you have seen. More for today, more for tomorrow, more for forever. So if your life seems a bit too predictable or chaotic or too mundane or too hopeless, then listen. Listen to what He has to say in the wonderful events of Christmas. And then let's think about not only the interruption, but let's think about the impact. God's life-changing message impacts life. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Consider, listen, and consider and feel the impact of the message. Do not fear.
We've heard that before, right? We reflected on that last week or the week before, whenever it was. The most repeated command in all of the Scripture: do not be afraid. There's enough in life to cause anxiety and fear, right? No matter whether you're old or whether you're young, there's enough to cause anxiety and fear. And then God speaks up and God says to shaken people, do not be afraid. That's a good word. That's a good word. And the angel said, listen, the angel said, I bring you. Well, who in the world is this? Who is this? This being somehow speaking. I bring. Where from? From where? Where is this coming from? I bring you. Me? You? This message was meant for the shepherds and for the rest of us living out this life. And we'll see in a little bit, for all the people, meant for all the people. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Well, that's kind of the nature of good news. It has the power to influence and to cause joy. I drove here last Sunday morning. That's how the weekend worked out. Last week, I drove up here, over here from Mankato with my friend Jerry. Some of you met Jerry. He's helping me out today with something back in Mankato. In the last few years, Jerry has suffered the loss of a very good job that he had for a number of years. He suffered the loss of his marriage, and we've had the opportunity to get acquainted in the last year or two, better acquainted. And Jerry's kind of a quiet guy, and we talked the whole way over here last Sunday morning. And somewhere along the way in the conversation, he spoke of joy. And we began talking about joy. And we thought of how real joy goes beyond our circumstances. Happiness has to do with happenings. Happy is a light, airy word, even the way it sounds, isn't it? Happy. That's a light, airy kind of word. Happy. Joy. Joy. Joy is a different kind of word, you know? It's much deeper, and it's much more lasting. Joy. 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 Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For all the people. For all the people. Think of the scope. Think of the wide impact. This news, the communication about these realities, is evidently massive in its impact. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And this message included some specifics. Today in the town of David, there was historical, even patriotic, cultural, geographical specifics in this message. This isn't just a nice bunch of words that are being delivered, comforting phrases, sermonesque type stuff. This is reality. This is nailed down in geography and in history. This is happening. And there's an announcement. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, the Lord, the Savior. This is an incredibly impactful announcement. This isn't like, oh, we have some new poll numbers today running off. Or this isn't even election results. This is about a Savior being born. A Savior. I think I've talked to some of you already. I know I've talked to a number of other people that lately I've been thinking so much about what we need. What the world needs is not another system. Be it political,
or religious or economic or educational or whatever you may have. What the world needs is not another system. What the world needs, what you need, what I need, what we need, is a Savior. And that was the announcement. A Savior has been born to you. And there's more specifics and directions. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A week from today, we're going to focus on the baby and on God coming in that interesting way. And then there's increasing impact. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven." This is spiritual. These beings, this happening, all this is from God, and it's glorifying to God. And what about that word glory? And we've sung about it. We were singing Gloria in Excelsis. You remember Excelsis Deo? We were singing that this morning. What's that? What in the world is that? Glory? I think the angels understand that a whole lot better than we do. We need our eyes opened so that we can understand things like glory. And you may recall the Apostle Paul prayed for us that way, that we might have our eyes opened so that we can understand some of these things. On earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. Immense impact. Do we need peace in this world? We need peace. You need peace in your lives and in this world around. A week ago yesterday, we had ended up being a really interesting, fun day. We had some graduations, and we were particularly involved with some international students back in Mankato. And I met a colonel from the Ethiopian Army who now is serving at the United Nations, and she is serving in the peacekeeping division, in a peacekeeping division of the United Nations. And we visited together about that. You know what happened this week? The military forces, our military forces, pulled out of Iraq, right? Right? I read something on the internet about that today, and we can give thanks, and we ought to give thanks for families that are going to be breathing a sigh of relief, and some of them are going to be able to be together for the holidays, and yet we can't help but wonder about peace in the world. And now we see what's erupting in Egypt again and different places. You know who Time magazine held up as the person of the year this year? Did you see that? The person of the year this year, according to Time magazine, is the protester. It's kind of a generic person. It's the protester. The world is crying out and acting out for peace and shalom and wholeness. We spend billions and billions of dollars in the name of peace. Far, far too many precious lives are sacrificed. The world longs and struggles for peace. And the angels are bringing a message with incredible impact and promise. The impact for the shepherds back then, impact for us, impact for the world today. This Christmas, right now, and the hours and the days leading up this next week to Christmas, listen. Really listen to the message the angels brought. And let this life-changing reality, let it impact you. Let it rock your world, because it comes from on high and it carries great import and impact for us. And then it involves, we'll think a little bit about how it involves, the message involves those who hear and receive it. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the shepherds discuss what they've seen and heard. And we can maybe imagine that it was a lively and probably a fairly short discussion. Come on, you guys, let's get moving. Hustle it up. Let's go. We got to go and check this thing out, man. Let's move it, you know. So they're talking about what they've seen and what they need to do. They've seen and they've heard, and now they're taking action. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They know that what they've heard is from God. The Lord has told us about these things, and they're off. And, you know, I've kind of wondered now, and I'm not making a decision here, but maybe we want to think together about it. You know, I've kind of wondered if we should expand our Bible affirmation that we do at the beginning of the message time. Maybe we should say, this is the Word of God, and I know it's true, and I'm going to do my best to live by it. I'm going to do my best to live by the Word. That seems to be what was going on here with the boys, with the shepherds. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The shepherds are personally involved. They're checking to see if it is so. And then they let it spill over, you know. Genuine good news that checks out, that is really true, is meant to overflow. You got to tell somebody, you know. It's just not right. You just can't hang on. It's got to spill over. People need to know about this. They need to hear this. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed and what the shepherds said to them. The message involves the shepherds who hear it. They get involved. And through them, others find their lives interrupted with good news. And they too are impacted by the good news. And they also get involved. And we've been doing that. We've been doing that. So we come to church today. We come here this morning and people are gathering in other places around the community and around the state and around the world. But we came here today and we listened to Jeff's story, and thank you again, Jeff. And we listened to his story of the life-changing good news of Jesus. And we heard again the familiar account of the angels appearing to shepherds. And we will hear other things about this message and about these events in the days to come. The message, this old message, draws families together. It sets the world to singing, and it continues to bring great promise of peace on all whom God favors. Joy to the world. So as we listen carefully, we find our lives interrupted and impacted in personal and powerful ways. And we, like shepherds of old, can get involved. We can choose to get involved. We have heard, most of us, this is not new, you know. We have heard and we are involved, and yet we listen even more closely because this is really big. This is really big, and we don't fully grasp it all now. And there is an eternity full of things to learn and appreciate and celebrate, and so we find ourselves ever more involved and rejoicing. And as we are swept away by the great music and by the good news, we discover that others too are included and are involved, and that God who sent his Son is glorified in it all. Listen. 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 Listen and be changed forever
by the message of the eternal God who sent his son Jesus. It's good news. It's good news that will cause joy for all the people. Let's pray. God, we've been listening, and we thank you that there is more and more and more to hear, more to the depths of your love, more to the expanses of your glory, more in regard to the kingdom, Jesus, that you said you were bringing as you came here. So we thank you for the listening that has brought us new life, eternal life. We pray for any who maybe have not yet come to that place of saying yes, that in this season, maybe even right now today, they might find themselves saying yes to you. But then again, may all of us do that. So thank you for the ability to listen. Help us to listen carefully and to rejoice with great joy. In Jesus' name.